vital information to the nurse working the next shift, to a doctor prescribing treatment without reviewing a patient's chart. It also includes breakdowns in communication with patients and their family members, who often arrive at the hospital anxious and confused. Imagine for a moment how important it is to get these conversations exactly right. The need for brevity and efficiency must be balanced with careful listening. There are any number of emotional factors, physical pain, stress, confusion, anger, that could derail such a conversation, and an equal number make it vital that the exchange be clear and comprehensive. Personally, I'm grateful lives don't hang in the balance when I converse on the radio every day. But important, life-changing events are influenced and affected by the words we choose to say or leave unspoken. Take a moment to consider how many opportunities you may have missed, how many outcomes in your life may have been altered because of poor communication. Could you have landed that dream job if you'd nailed the interview, saved a relationship if you'd been more open about certain issues? What about that political conversation at Thanksgiving dinner that got out of hand? Was there a different way to defend your principles so that your cousin didn't storm away from the table and still won't return your text messages? After I read the cockpit transcripts from Flight 90, I spent a lot of time reflecting on how many times I've failed to get my point across in a conversation and how often I've misunderstood what someone else was trying to tell me. I've also realized that saying the wrong thing in a conversation is a universal experience. We've all lost something because of what we said or didn't say, what we failed to hear, or what we heard and misunderstood. So we can all benefit from learning a better way. Some of my greatest insights have come about as the result of failures, and one of my most valuable lessons in listening resulted from my failure to listen. 2 days after the massive earthquake in Haiti in 2010, I spoke on air with a woman in Michigan named Mallory Thurlow. She had been trying for 2 days to reach her fiancé in Port-au-Prince and had been unsuccessful. She was desperate to reach him or anyone else who might be able to tell her if her loved ones were alive or dead. Our production staff worked tirelessly to track down her fiancé, France Neptune, and we brought them both onto the air. Mallory and France heard each other's voices for the first time since the earthquake, and my co-host and I listened as the couple spoke with each other, relief and gratitude audible in every syllable. It was moving for all of us. Up to that point, we were listening to a powerful conversation, but I should have stopped congratulating myself over a well-planned segment and really listened to where the discussion was headed. We weren't expecting France to inform Mallory on live radio that her young godchild had died in the collapse of a school building. Mallory, not surprisingly, began to cry. I wasn't sure what to say. It was an uncomfortable moment for me, and I can only imagine it was painful for the thousands of listeners who felt they were intruding on a highly personal and agonizing conversation. Our station later received a number of complaints. Even if you set aside the humanity involved, that a person has just learned of the death of a loved one while thousands of people listened in, her tears don't make for a good broadcast. Hearing someone cry on the radio is painful, not powerful. Most people, understandably, want to console the person and can't. They want me, the host, to console the guest, and often I don't have the words or time to do so. If I had been listening more carefully, I would have heard the turn in the conversation. I could have ended the segment and allowed Mallory and France their privacy. I didn't, and it still bothers me. I was too caught up in my own story to pay attention to theirs. In my private life, I've lost contact with family members, and I've seen friendships die in silence when I failed to say what was really on my mind. I've suffered in my career as well, because I couldn't seem to make myself understood during important conversations with recruiters or managers. I now believe that conversation may be one of the most fundamental skills we can learn and improve upon. So much hinges on what may seem like trivial chats. In fact, my entire career in radio began because of a casual conversation. In 1999, I had just finished my master's degree at the University of Michigan. My fiancé was overseas in Kosovo with the Army, and I was in Arizona with our infant son. I stopped by KNAU, Arizona.